Clueless the Clown wants to quote unquote open the economy back up. Well, he can't do it literally or figuratively speaking. All he can do is employ his bully pulpit to try to browbeat governors into doing so, and a lot of them did. Florida, Arizona, Georgia, a lot of the Midwest states. And this is exactly where you see drastic increase in infections. Texas is overwhelmed, and the governor there has threatened a total shutdown if people don't begin to wear masks. And Trump finally wore one at, I believe it was Walter Reed. He was doing a tour, visiting the facility over there, medical facility, Walter Reed Hospital. I thought they had closed it. But it's the Army Hospital. They have a Naval Hospital over there, too. I believe it's called Bethesda. I'm not really certain. But it's in that area, right on the outside of D.C. in Maryland. And and he finally wore a mask. And this is what people have been asking him over and over and over again. And you cannot be a leader if you don't want to lead. And he's now insisting stupidly, naively, recklessly that schools reopen in September. And I can tell you it's not going to happen. I was talking to my child a few weeks ago, and he was telling me, Dad, we're going to, they want to say, and he was very, you could hear the alarm and the dismay in his voice. Dad, we're going to have to, stay home again. And so I'm, that's part of the reason that's prompting me into taking the measures that I'm taking to get closer. So I'm trying to work with some people now that, may allow me to do that. I don't really know. We'll see. Because you can't count anybody else's money. I mean, that just is ludicrous. You don't know what people have or don't have going on in their lives. So, because he's not, the instruction in his school district was bad from the start. He has some issues, psychoeducational issues that haven't been addressed simply because, the teacher doesn't have the means to spend the additional time that he. I had them when I was a child. I was innumerable. I couldn't count. Barely can now. I mean, how I got through grad school is beyond me. With statistics and methodology, which are all quantitative, requires some rudimentary mathematical ability. And then, he has short term. Well, anyway, I don't need to put my son's business in the street. But I need to be up there where he lives to address that. And that's what we're doing. And, with this homeschooling, there is literally no one where he is at that has to. The background to help him, and like every parent, we fear our children are going to suffer as a consequence. He wasn't doing that great. He's not on grade level, so I'm doing what I can do as fast as I can. But when you're dealing with other people and they don't share your sense of urgency, it can become frustrating. But you can't allow it to. You have to work around those barriers, that indifference, inconsideration, and move affirmatively towards your objective, and that's what I'm doing here, because I got a lot going on, and I have been working literally day and night, every single day, every day, even on Sunday, and my problem is, this is why I'm, hopefully I can get this resolved, because I'm willing to make a sweetheart deal to get this resolved. But hopefully I can at least get my office back. That's what's really killing me. I mean, no fax, no printer, and I have everything. I have floor. I mean, I have a complete office and storage. Not to mention the rest of my house. You know, furniture and you know my plasma screens and the whole nine. I mean, you know, servers. Everything is literally in storage. It's outrageous. I mean, I'm really, you know, put out about that because I'm using a laptop, an older one that I had to refurbish. I had it here. But the thing is, I hadn't planned on being in this area for that long, you know. But the pandemic is not going anywhere because we have a dope in the White House that refuses to exercise the leadership necessary to resolve this situation. So we can't get back to any degree of normalcy, you know. He just started, like I said last weekend, wearing the mask, which is critical, a critical piece in containing this virus, you know, but he's still constantly downplaying it. Oh, it's the China flu, it's Kung flu. I mean, you know, all these disparaging racist, you know, terms of racist connotations. Instead of just, you know, like a child, an infant, you know, you would never know that this man is 72, 73, 74, whatever he is, 74 years old. The way he acts, I have never seen a man that old. Well, you know, years ago, my grandma, she used to be the place to be. Everybody used to stop by. I mean, my grandmother, my grandfather, says years and years and years ago. And there was an older guy. He was around my age now, you know, and he was a fool. Literally, and his name was, I know you're going to say, oh, Dennis is, you know, this, he's lying, that's hyperbole, nobody calls himself that, but his name was literally Santa Claus. That's what they called him, and he was a fool. He was a literal fool. And the point is that if you're a young fool, you know, if you become old, more than likely you're just going to become an old fool. And that's what Chump the Brain Dead Comic Con Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, is. Because we could have been past this pandemic, you know, in the sense that, you know, there is a new normal, you know, but people would have been more inclined to take the necessary precautions in terms of face masks and social distancing, if he would have exhibited leadership, him and Pence, and Pence is just as despicable, even more so, you know, really, they are both going down in history as really the worst administration ever. I don't want to take it there. Let me just leave it there. So that's where we are with this situation. The point I was trying to make is that that's what's hurting me because I had to refurbish this laptop, and it's killing my eyes. It really is because I'm used to looking at a 60-inch screen. I kid you not. That's what I was using in my office, a 60-inch screen. A laptop I would use only as, you know, when I would travel. If I had to travel, I would take a laptop or a tablet, you know, if I wanted to just check email because I don't have a data plan. Well, I have one on my phone now because I had to change the number after I got into a dispute with T-Mobile, a company I had been with for over 12 years. And they decided that they wanted to lie and lie and lie and lie and lie about why my bill was inflated. And I had forewarned them that if they inflated my bill one more time, I was going to sever ties. So in doing so, in retaliation, they took a branded telephone number that's associated with everything. I have to get rid of business cards, letterhead, trifolds. I have to change the number on my website. So they decided to take my number. So it was really painful because there are some people that only know me by their number, but most of my friends and most of my contacts have already given out the new telephone number, so they know how to get a hold of me, and the rest I will work on over the next, few months after I, regain my footing here, because like I said, I'm still in crisis mode. I have to make some major moves over the next couple of weeks. I don't have a lot of time to do it because there is a deadline that I have to adhere to or I will be in some serious trouble. But that is the problem. If I had my office with my printer, with my big screens and everything, and I hope all that stuff is all right, because when you're moving, machinery does not like to move. It is very delicate. And this stuff has had to move. And I just got my Xerox floor models refurbished, both of them. I have two. And I just got both of them refurbished, so I'm not at all happy about moving those machines. But when Roberta passed, there was a lot of traffic in and out of the house, and they were taking things that were not hers. So I decided to pack up as much as possible, and that was a calculated mistake because I didn't pack up everything, and that's what I should have done. So now I have two enormous storage bills, and one contains my office, the other contains my house. And so it has been awful. There is no other way to parse it. It has really been awful because I'm relying on equipment that is substandard compared to what I'm used to working on. You know, plasma screens, servers, workstations, the whole nine. The stuff that I did bring is in disarray. I mean, it's just awful. And in a way, I'm glad for this crisis. Because, not that I don't take anything for granted. I really don't. But I wasn't moving with a sense of urgency on my own that I needed to move with to get back closer to my child, because I can run the businesses virtual. East New York has always been virtual. Applied Anthropologic, less so. And, because we're working on, some issues there that have to be addressed. But once those are addressed toward the end of the year, early next year, I'm going to hit the ground running. I mean, I'm doing it now. I haven't had this sort of sense of urgency in quite some time, but that's what I plan on doing over the next couple of weeks. And so, like I said, when there are other people involved, it's extraordinarily difficult because, people are not going to share your sense of urgency. They don't care, period. I have been through that time and time again, which is why the best way to get out of a hole is not to get in one in the first place, where you're not depending on people who don't care, bottom line. They sit at the, I've been there. I've worked in bureaucracies, major bureaucracies. And I remember coming on board, and then toward the end of my probation, just before I passed probation, which is a year for the state of New York. I was an entry-level social worker at the time when I started my career. This is going back 30 years now. I can remember going in the back hall. I shared an office with a nurse, always shared an office with a nurse, and one of the nurses went to another office, Valencia, which is further north, and there wasn't a lot of people up there. And then another nurse was assigned to my office, so we shared the office. So, typically I would be in there for an hour or two, and then I would bounce. But I can remember going in the back and talking to, you know, my colleagues. It was 80 people in the office. I was the only black social worker at the time, so you know how this went. But I was well-liked, I was well-regarded, and they would be in the back playing cards and chilling, and this is a major bureaucracy, man, where they had people on their caseload, and some of these people were in crises. So I know what people do in these offices. I know, and they get mad at me, I tell you, and this is, you know, because I know. I have been there. And I know that if you don't self-advocate, and they don't care if you do it respectfully or not, because they don't want to do any work. This is the bottom line. They want to sit up and talk about what they ate or what they're going to do or, you know, even more profane conversations than that, trust me. And and their work lags. You know, I remember a guy coming into my office. He was, you know, obviously more advanced than I was, more advanced, more, you know, senior. You know, I was the new kid on the block, and telling me this is what he literally said. His name was Dennis as well. He said, "Are you trying to embarrass us? I kid you not." And I didn't know any. All I was doing was my job. It was so easy. So I don't. This is why I have a problem with people. I don't understand why people don't want to do their jobs. I don't get that. I don't get it. I don't. Call me naive. I have a background in social and behavioral science and in law. I have all that. I don't understand that. I had a. One of the supervisors, there was a lot of black supervisors, believe it or not, but she was in another, I don't know if she was lesbian or not, but we had a very good very good rapport, and she would always stop in and talk to me. I think she wanted me to move over to her team because she had heard so much about me. And so she would always stop in my office whenever she would be in our office, you know, which is, we call it across the river, you know, because they worked in Dutchess County. We worked in Ulster County in upstate New York. It's not too far. It's about 90 miles. I used to actually drive back and forth from my apartment in Queens up there when I initially started until I got a place up there. So anyway, I was talking to a psychologist. Well, actually, he had called me in his office, you know, because we had everybody there. It was all clinicians, mainly. You know, wasn't a lot of support staff, and the support staff that were there, they hung up front mostly. You know, it was a couple of clerk typists, you know, and I had a good relationship with most of them. Not all, but most. One almost tried to get me in trouble for, you know, reasons that I don't understand to this day. Well, I understand, and you understand, but anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. So the psychologist called me in his office, and I'm just sharing this with you, you know, because it was something that made me feel good, because it literally defines my expectations, especially with public servants, you know, people that are entrusted with, you know, with you know. So he said, "Dennis, you know, I know you're a maverick." That's what he said. That's a, you know, I don't know if that was a backhanded compliment or not, but I was. I, you know, I didn't toe the line. I mean, you know, I didn't break rules now. Don't get it twisted. But I did what I felt was in the best interest of my consumers, because these people were highly vulnerable. Long story short, he said, "You know, I was on the hill, and you know what I heard?" Now, the Hill is headquarters for all offices of that particular DDSO, which is every few counties in New York has a district, you know, that services persons with developmental disabilities and mental retardation, that sort of thing. And our particular DDSO was in Taconic. That was the name of it. It's closed now. I don't quite know what they did. But they probably combined with, you know, another one, Mid-Hudson or Capital Districts, which are the two adjoining districts. I'm not really sure. But he said, "I was on the hill, and you know what I heard? I heard that if you want anything done in Ulster, contact Dennis Shipman. I kid you not. Out of all these white folks, the new kid, the black kid, and I wasn't trying to show anybody up. I was not. Was just doing my job, and I liked it a lot. I liked the autonomy. I liked the respect. I just loved it. I wasn't making any money as a state worker, you know, but I liked it. It was my first professional position. So, you know, so what I'm heading into is that we don't see that. And these people get mad at you when you push them to do their jobs because they don't want to, you know. And it's shameful. It really is. They, you know, personally, I would be ashamed. I would be ashamed to come in and have somebody slow walk or refuse to do their job for whatever reason, you know. And a lot of it is driven by personality. You get in a lot of these offices, and a lot of the, you know, a lot of it is driven by class. A lot of it is driven by culture. So, you know, there's a lot of minefields, and that's why I don't work well in that sort of environment, you know. Even among, you know, black and Hispanic, I don't. They ruined my career, as a matter of fact, black and Hispanic. You know, and that's why I finally left that particular office, state agency, because of black and Hispanic work. Not because of white people, because of blacks and Hispanics I left. So, anyway, you know, we're still working on, you know, transitioning, and I'll be working on it all day, straining my poor eyes until I can get my office set up again. And trying to find out what this guy is going to do. You know, he exhibited some leadership, but he likes to walk back. He's not consistent, so we're going to see what he does with that in terms of wearing a mask, because 68,000 people were infected, you know, over the last couple of days, and that's a lot, man. You know, if you look at it statistically, it's statistically significant given our population. And he's talking about reopening schools. I mean, what a dope. We can't get this guy out of there quick enough. So anyway, try to be safe, socially distance, and wear a mask whenever you're out in public. And we'll be back, same bad time, same bad channel, hopefully next week. Right here on MPI New York. Have a blessed day.